Hey guys, this week's episode is brought to you by Grove Collaborative, where you can find your favorite natural home and personal care products and get them delivered right to your door. To get $20 off your first order of $40 or more and get one of our favorite cleaners thrown in for free on top of that, sign up at grove.co/YHL. That's grove.co/YHL.
I'm John.
And I'm Sherry.
We like home stuff.
We like talking.
And we like the occasional game show sound effect. So welcome to Young House Love Has a Podcast, where we have deep and not so deep conversations about DIY, design, and life at home.
Today we reveal what changes stung the most when the new owners of our old houses undid some of our design choices. We also share a long overdue outdoor upgrade and what items you should think twice about buying secondhand.
Something very exciting has happened around here.
It's true. After years of living with weeds as 95% of our driveway and 5% of it being rocks, we now have an asphalt paved driveway. 100%, no weeds. Looks very clean.
Well, let's back up for everyone, because yes, the news is we got our rock driveway paved so that it is asphalt. It is something that we have wanted to do from basically day one of being in this house. For a number of reasons. We had one in our first house that we loved. I mean, we added that one.
Right. It was a rock driveway. We battled weeds. I tried all the natural methods. I tried blowtorching them, actually. We bought a thing that sets them on fire.
That was here at this house.
I tried that here, yes. Yeah. But I tried lots of ways to keep these rock driveways clear, looking clean, looking neat. And really, it was really impossible for us, especially for their sheer size. They were both very large.
Yes. And in our second house, the previous owners had put in a stone paver driveway, which is very nice and pretty, but it also had weed problems.
Yeah, the cracks would get weeds.
I mean, I guess even in asphalt, you can get cracks with weeds. But I constantly was regretting the fact that our kids didn't grow up on their first house's driveway where they could do chalk and ride bikes and scooters and basketball and stuff, because there's only so much that you can do on the rock, which mainly devolves into throwing rocks.
Throwing rocks at the car.
Yes. So the reason we had not done it yet, the reason that we lived here for all of these years without actually paving it, was because it was one of those projects we kept saying, like, oh, we'll do it once we're done with X. Like,
right,
once we're done with this renovation, or once we've figured out the landscaping outside, or like once we add a light post at the end of the driveway. Like, we had all these other things we wanted to do first because we didn't want to damage the asphalt driveway.
Right. A lot of people think our house is finished, but we still have 4 seashell-shaped sinks, which means we have 2 bathrooms upstairs that we still have to renovate. And we keep envisioning when we get a big dumpster to throw the old stuff down, it could hurt the driveway if it's paved to put a big dumpster on it. Cut to us walking around the neighborhood and realizing that half of our neighbors have dumpsters on driveways, and it's fine.
Yeah, an asphalt driveway is not like a preventative to getting a dumpster. Anyways, we finally, this summer, were feeling really like we were not able to enjoy the driveway and, like, again, do bikes and chalk and all the stuff out there like we would want to. And Sherry and I kept just saying, like, let's just do this. Let's just do this. And we were, again, kind of talking ourselves out of it, saying, like, oh, no, we've got everything going on at the beach house. And then, I don't know, what was the final straw?
I think it was just our kids keep wanting to scooter and bike in our garage where there's not a lot of room for turning or doing. It's very sad.
Not very fun.
How sad is that when your kids are like dying for a flat surface and you've got this giant thing outside that could be a flat surface? And we're going to do it eventually. So we're like, listen, if we're going to do it eventually, why not do it when the kids are at an age where they can actually use it for scootering and biking? Because you know when they're 15, that's not going to be what they're doing. At least not around our house. They're going to be
They can use it for like making out with their friends.
No. Bite your tongue, John. Peterzig. I just think it was one of those, why are we waiting? You know, right. A lot of projects we do and we're like, why did we wait so long? And this was definitely one of them.
Because the beauty of this is once we made the decision to just go for it, it happened like that.
Right. It's not like we're going to get out there and pave it ourselves.
No, this is not a DIY project.
So we knew we were outsourcing it. And so what I did is I posted a comment on this neighborhood Facebook board that we're on with a bunch of our neighbors and just said, hey, who's paved their driveway and who liked who? And a bunch of people weighed in with the same person with the same name and they all were saying the same things really quick, really affordable. And I was like, okay, we'll get a quote. And literally the day I called him for a quote, he came to our house. He walked to the driveway, measured it. He sat in his truck before driving off and texted me the quote. So he had not even left our house and I had the number in my hands. I texted him back, of course, and negotiated $500 lower because that's who I am as a person. He said, sure, we can make that work. And then he said, I'm thinking about later this week. And we were like, wow, that's how fast it is. And then a few days later, he said, hey, I'm going to be in the neighborhood doing someone else's. How about Friday? And so literally, we went home and we were like, we better figure out exactly what we want this to look like because he's coming in the morning. Like, we're going to have a driveway tomorrow.
My favorite part about his text is, along with the quote, he also texted you video of some of his work.
It was so flashy, you guys. It was like started on his logo on the truck and then moved down to the driveway and you could see the
nice
edges.
It was just like his iPhone, right?
It was, but I thought it was very thorough.
It was smart to send a video sort of resume, I guess.
You could see his work in other places. We had the neighbors saying he was great. He definitely gave us an affordable price, especially after I negotiated it down even more. For all the hiccups we're always whining about on this podcast, namely involving tiling and water meters, this was a fantastic coup.
Zero hiccups. Although that does not mean we are void of things to complain about. I'm looking at you, Sherry. Specifically, your mouth.
Lest you think that our lives are wonderful and everything works out. Guys, do you remember a million episodes ago when I talked about how I got Invisalign?
I checked. It was episode 20.
I felt like it was episode 1. I've had Invisalign since last summer. Okay? Summer of 2016. It's end of summer of 2017. And I'm finished up. I had 35 trays. Picture happy little Sherry skipping into the orthodontist, waiting for my ribbon of completion for the Invisalign game that I finally beat the top level of. And they were like, oh, we have to do one more scan because some people need revisions. Mind you, I had 35 trays and the average person has 8 to 12. Like all my friends and neighbors who've done it and I've talked to were like, oh yeah, I had 8, I had 13. I had 35 to start with. So mine was like advanced Invisalign case from the beginning. So upon finishing that 35th tray, you can imagine I was feeling pretty plucky about it. I was walking around like my teeth are gonna be out of jail. Of course, I'll have to wear retainers the rest of my life at night, but I at least won't have these plastic trays in my mouth during the day.
Do you see where this is going, everyone?
Yes, cut to the lady saying to me, well, I've got your refinement here. We sent your scans in because there's like a waiting period of a few weeks where you go back in and I'm like, okay, maybe I'll have like a tray or two left to refine my teeth. And she says, you've got 25 trays. And I was like, I'm Sherry Petersick. I think you're holding the wrong file. Right. Like my brain refused. I was like, I had 35. That was like the most ever. You're saying my total is 55 trays?
Try 60.
60. See, I'm great at math. And that's another 6 months, guys. And I was so dejected. I was texting John in the chair and saying 25 trays. And John's even like, do you just want to bail?
I was like, can't you just say they're fine?
And you can. The answer is yes. But you pay a flat fee for Invisalign. And so it feels like I'm not getting my money's worth unless I see it through. And I'm a person who like finishes things.
Right, you do want the completion certificate at the end.
Like even if I hate a cereal I've purchased, I will eat the whole cereal so as not to throw it away and waste my money.
Well, isn't it like, so you were just doing some like minor kind of adjustments and stuff. And so like me looking at your teeth right now look fine, except what do they say? They kind of like...
It's a crossbite.
Yes,
so
a
like
crossbite.
My bottom teeth centered don't line up with my top teeth centered. They're like a whole tooth off.
So like picture like a horse chewing something.
That's why he married me. His love of horses.
It's not that bad.
No, but like the average person probably wouldn't notice it, but I just feel like I've paid for it. I've gone through all this pain. I feel like a dropout if I don't just like finish up. And so I'm doing it, guys. And the funny slash ironic thing about a crossbite is that it's like a new secret level of Invisalign that people don't even know exists. Like I've fallen into the black level of Mario Brothers where it's a minor key song going on.
No.
Yeah, I like the rap part. I'll do it again. This can be the rest of the podcast, John. So anyway, I'm down in this secret level, which involves, wait for it, them gluing things called attachments to your teeth. These are not just the glue bumps that they attach to your teeth so that the Invisalign snaps on. These are things like metal hooks glued inside my mouth. And I wear not one, not two, but three elastics. So it's like headgear without stuff on my cheeks. Like when I open my mouth, my children are like, oh.
Well, but you only have to wear them a little bit, right?
I have to wear two 24 hours a day and I have to wear the third at night. So the one that goes crossed in front of my bite. So it's like in between my front two teeth and very obvious. It looks like a spit line most of the time. That's just for evenings.
And you know how much Sherry loves diagonals.
I hate
it. A big diagonal rubber band cutting across her
teeth. It's a diagonal on my face. But you know what? At the end of this, there just better not be another refinement. Like,
is there an end of it, really?
Is there ever an end? And poor John, we go to sleep and I'm like, good night, I gotta put in my elastic.
Well, it'll be worth it next summer when you're done.
Right. We're going to have a coming out party for my teeth.
It'll be like the end of Botched.
Seriously. I'll put a picture or a video in the show notes to show you guys just how what the elastic situation is. It's not a good look.
I'm sure everyone is racing over there to check that out.
You don't want to miss my face with a diagonal across it.
So here we are at the part of the show we like to call What's Not, where I'm going to quiz Sherry. I'm going to give her a list of things in a certain category. All of them are real except for one that is fake. And she has to tell me what is real and what's not. Actually, this quiz was suggested on Twitter by Jody. She said this would make a great What's Not, and I agreed. So here it comes.
I'm ready. I'm not on Twitter at all. Yep. Anyone who talks to anyone on Twitter is always John, because yeah. I don't know how to use Twitter.
They know from all the typos.
I actually said the other day, how many tweets do we have following us? And John's like, tweets are like the things you write.
Those are the messages that right. you actually send.
What are they really called? Tweeps?
No,
my
just,
tweets?
I think you just say follows.
I feel like I invented a good word, though.
No,
like,
you did not invent that, first of all.
I didn't? My tweeps?
No.
Like my peeps?
It's been used and it's over.
Oh.
You invented something that's not cool.
It's like the mom who's still using yeah. bling bling.
Exactly. Anyways, one of our tweeps, Jody.
See, it is cool.
See, it sounds so dumb. She suggested this list from Apartment Therapy called 8 Things You Should Never Buy Used.
Okay. Bras. Underwear.
This is not a free-for-all. There are probably several things. There are probably more than 8 things you should not buy used.
Okay.
But these are things that might surprise you. I've got 5. 1 is fake. Number 1, pots and pans.
That's debatable, because couldn't you just clean them really well? I mean, you don't know their story. You don't know if they've been used as a bedpan or something. But you could theoretically scrub them with like Barkeeper's Friend and they'd be like new, right? I don't know.
Number 2, mattresses.
Yeah, there's like the bed bugs problem. And dust mites. Aren't they full of skin cells and dust mites?
Number 3, vacuum cleaners.
That could be another skin cells and dust mites issue, right?
They ruin everything. First they got in my pots and pans.
And those little buggers are everywhere.
Number 4, swing sets.
Oh, like a crib, how you're not supposed to have or like a used car seat because there's like safety things.
I will say car seat was on the list.
Okay.
But not on my list. I only give you 5 of the 8. The last one is bike helmets.
I know that's for sure. You should not. PSA, buy a new helmet, because if somebody dropped in, it has an internal crack that you can't see, and then you're wearing it, and then you smash, and your bike helmet does not do its job. It's very dangerous. So we are serious about helmets in this
family. I will interrupt to say Sherry is correct on that.
John loves a bike helmet,
that was real on the list, because they're only built to withstand one impact, and so you won't know whether it had already sustained its one impact if you bought it used.
Right, and that's why I'm a maniac about the kids not like swinging them around like yeah, cowboys.
They are not a toy.
Right.
Anyways, PSA over. What is your guess?
My guess is pots and pans is fake.
Pots and pans is not fake.
Oh, what? Can't you scrub them? I mean, they're not porous, are they?
So the distinction is you just want to make sure that they're not scratched, because if they're scratched and it has a surface like Teflon in it.
Right. Oh, that's very dangerous.
Yes. Then you could release those chemicals into your food or in the air when
nasty.
You're cooking. So if you see any scratched pots and pans, you should not buy them.
Got it.
Do you want to know the faker?
The faker is going to be vacuums.
No, the faker was swing sets.
Oh.
I actually found that on a list from Kiplinger as things that they recommend you buy used.
Oh, good. Because we almost took our neighbor's swing set off her yeah. hands for free. She wanted us to disassemble it and reassemble it. And if we had room in our yard, we would have done it. So.
Yeah, because they basically say they're expensive. And so if you can buy them used because people are constantly outgrowing them, you can get quite a deal on them. No, vacuum cleaners was not recommended you buy used for the same reason you thought, you know, the...
Dust mites. Skin cells. Yeah. Maybe allergens from pets.
Yep. Any sort of secondhand bacterium they
Ooh.
Mentioned. Yes. And so they do say you could look for a factory refurbished one. That's a way to get a vacuum cleaner used. Obviously, mattresses for the same reason. I will admit we have purchased a used mattress in our first house. You remember?
But it was going in a sunroom.
So going in the sunroom.
Like, which is a screened porch. So it had like a lot of breeziness. It was a little
in
musty.
In retrospect, it was a gross decision.
It was a little musty.
As yeah. someone who survived bed bugs in New York City, I don't know why I let it happen.
I know. That's really outside of your personality.
I did inspect it carefully because I knew what to look for.
That's why bugs. You allowed it. Yeah. You were sure they weren't in there.
We also have just like bought a house and we're very cheap. So.
Yes.
It was
poor
the right
slash
price.
Cheap. And it was technically outside. Like, it was beyond the locked exterior door right. in a sunroom, which is like a screened-in porch.
Right, exactly. We weren't sleeping on it every night or anything.
Side story. As newlyweds, John and I thought it would be cute to sleep on that twin daybed mattress in the sunroom as like a, look at us, we're like having a camping experience.
Let's see how many bed bugs we can get.
It's like a glamping. But you know what happened, guys? We were awakened at like 5 a.m. by the sun because we were in a room without light blocking shades or curtains. And we were on a twin, which as two grown-ups, one of whom is 6 feet tall, it was a tight squeeze. I mean, we did it, but we did it once.
Yeah. Well, I will put this full list from Apartment Therapy of 8 things you should never buy used in the show notes at younghouselove.com/podcast so you can see what else is on the list.
And next we have a voicemail from someone named Melissa, and it's actually something I think a lot of us may have struggled with.
Hi, John and Sherry. This is Melissa from Charlotte. My husband and I are currently in the process of selling our house. We have built a few built-in cabinets and have recently found out that the buyers are going to rip one of them out. And I'm feeling very sad about that. We've done a lot of work and feel like it was the right thing for the house. So I'm wondering if you guys have any tips for how to sort of let go of any changes that future owners or buyers of your house might make. Thanks.
I think we actually struggled with this a lot during the sale process of our first house. Because that house, for a lot of reasons, you know, it was our first house. We got married there.
Brought our baby home there.
Yeah, like it was a very special house to us. So to
still is.
Yeah. But at that time, especially like to move on from it and to give it up. And, you know, it's where we started our blog and sort of got our DIY feet wet and all that stuff. So to let someone else take that over was going to be hard no matter what. But I don't know if we ever really talked that much about this, but the people we ended up selling to, they were some folks who were just being transferred into the area for work. I think
it was like a 2-year stay.
Yeah, she had some job.
And then it was right back on the market.
This was like a pit stop for them, which, I mean, just on the surface, that hurt a little bit because we were like, oh my gosh, this is like such a special place. And for you, it's like a bed.
Right. Like what we would have loved would be to sell it to someone who like was so in love with it. It would be their potential forever home.
Yeah.
Like, although it's a perfect starter house. So we understand it's probably not anyone's right. forever home because it's little and it only has like one full bathroom.
Yeah. So
it's easy to outgrow it.
Right. But I think we still were hoping the person who got it would like be as enamored with it because we had some other people look at the house. Remember, we sold it by owner. So we met all the people who were potential
John
buyers.
Did. Yeah, I ran away.
So there were lots of people who were very enamored, but it didn't work out for some reason. And the people who wanted it were like very transactional. Spoiler alert, the person who lives there now, whom we've met, she invited us over, she really, really appreciates the home. So
no, she has since sold it. And
oh,
I've,
she did?
Yeah, now I'm talking to the new owners. It's on its fourth set of owners since us. There was the 2-year people, then they
if
sold
it. If you count
it.
Us, we're the, it's on the fourth, right?
Okay, I guess, yeah. I guess, yeah. No, remember we even talked about it being on the market again, like maybe 5 or 10 episodes ago.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Well, yeah. Anyways.
So the new owner actually just emailed me and said, hey, I got some mail for you guys. And like, obviously we know who you are.
Yes, it was a refund check from Verizon for who knows what, but it was $3.
That was very nice of them to forward it.
Anyways, let's get back to Melissa's question. When we sold it and we knew they were buying the house, they actually made us aware of some of the changes they were going to make, just like Melissa was saying. For instance, they had a king bed and it wasn't going to fit in our bedroom where we had done the built-ins around our queen size bed. I don't know if you guys remember that room, but there was only one tiny closet. So we had added some IKEA PAX wardrobes on either side and it created kind of this nice built-in niche for the bed and also added a ton of storage for us. So like for us, it felt like the perfect solution that anyone should do in this house.
Yeah, like we were so happy with the upgrade. And so to hear, oh, their bed won't fit.
So they're going to tear it out.
Right, like we're people who are like, okay, well, Craigslist the king size bed. We'll get a queen size bed. Actually, I think we were leaving the bed.
Oh yeah, we left the built-ins and the bed for them.
Right, so we were leaving everything. So they just would have had to like sell their king and get a new mattress. But you know, some people are really attached to their bed set or didn't want to put it in storage for 2 years or whatever the story was behind that. And so the only reason they alerted us to this plan. Do you know why?
Oh, it's
they
because
were
they
asking
were asking
if the floor stain went under the wardrobes.
Which it did not.
It didn't. And we said, you know, if you take those up, it's we refinished the floors after we added them, so you might have to match it.
Yeah.
We were very honest anytime they asked us something, but it did feel like a dagger through the heart because, you know, we'll be honest. At the time, we thought that was the way to do that room. Like, trust me, I lived there a few years, honey. I figured it out already. Like, you don't need to reinvent the wheel.
Well, just like Melissa was saying, like, it felt like the right decision for the space. And so it was like adding insult to injury that they not only didn't like your choice, but they were making something that felt like a poor functional decision for the house just because of this king size bed. And the other thing we knew they were doing is they were adding a big tall fence around the backyard because they had a dog that apparently could jump over the fence that was there. It was like one of those kind of rustic country fences.
Yeah, it was like, I think it was 4 feet and they wanted to add a 6-foot privacy fence, which to us felt very, you know, like we were used to the backyard being private, but still not feeling like it was like walled in with 6 feet walls.
Well, it was nice and open between the driveway and the yard, but suddenly there was going to be a tall fence between the two.
Right.
So again, it was a decision that we personally wouldn't make and didn't feel for us right for the house. And so, yeah, like we had to get over it a little bit.
That's right. You know what helped? Realizing how much we changed a house when we buy it. Like take that first house, for example.
Realizing we were the kettle calling them. What's that? How does that go? Calling them black?
No, the pot. We were the kettle calling them the pot. Right. We're was, like butchering
that
was, the idiom.
That was flawless. But you guys know what we mean.
Because, you know, we bought this house and we took down all the window treatments previously and we opened a wall up that had been closed and we changed things about the way that the entryway functioned, which had like little stone that we turned into wood and we refinished floors.
We redid the whole kitchen. I mean, we did a lot to the house and so we realized that it's pretty hypocritical of us to get all hung up on the changes the new owners want to make when it's their house.
Right. That's like the life cycle of a home is that the new owner comes in and breathes new life and makes it work for them. And we always preach that, like, do what works for you. So who are we to say the king size bed is the wrong choice? Like, do what works for you. So we just had to get over it. The house did what it was supposed to do for us. And we can't expect that what worked for us will work for any other family. And so you just kind of have to let go of the thought that this is the only solution for this house or the best way to use this room.
Yeah, your way is not the only right way.
And it really helped us to focus on the future, on the new home we were renovating.
Right. And I think the other thing that helped me was I'm realizing like having that buyer there that wants to buy that house is a gift to us that is allowing us to move on to the house that will serve us better. Like, even though I may not agree with all their decisions, like, I need to be grateful for them that they came in here and saw something in this house that they wanted. And that's allowing me to move on to the next home that presumably will be a better fit for us that we could do, you know, better things to. So, I mean, I guess maybe that explanation doesn't work if you're moving for some unhappy reason, like you're just, you know, being relocated for work. You know, it might be hard to have that perspective, but I still think like, it's a good thing when you have buyers.
Right. Do not look a gift horse in the mouth.
Right.
You use that. I got that idiom. Nailed it.
If you're a horse, don't buy gifts with your mouth. I think that's how that one
don't
goes.
Don't lick a gift horse in the mouth because it's unsanitary.
Right. Says Miss Invisalign teeth over here.
Full circle back to my teeth.
Where were we?
So it's a blessing to have a buyer. And the other thing I was saying to John before we recorded this, if we look in the archives for changes we've made to houses over 10 years, we don't always love them now. Like there are a lot of cringy things we did that we thought were amazing that now we would not do. And so I think it's not always perspective you get right away when you make the change or paint this or knock this down or build this that like, that was okay, but it wasn't our best work. But someone new coming in might have that perspective right away. So I'm definitely not insinuating that that cabinet's in a bad place or you did a bad job with it. But you might in 5 years look back and say like, yeah, the real king and queen of that house were the other cabinets they kept. And if they needed that corner for a chair or they didn't need a built-in there, at least they pulled the right one out of the house and kept the great one. Or, you know, whatever you might, with some hindsight and some perspective, realize about it. I mean, a perfect example is that we made a cutout doorway in our second house that was kind of the shape of a P into our kitchen. And we belabored it so much. And we thought this is the best way to do it. It's a peninsula with opening a lot of light from the front of the house into this middle room, which got hardly any light. And now when I look back, I'm like, there are a million other ways I would have done that that were more balanced. You know how I am.
Yep.
Symmetry lady. And there was something about that finished look that in the moment was so much better than the before that I thought, nailed it. Bingo, bango. Perfect. But in hindsight, with perspective, I can see I could have nailed it better.
Well, and speaking of that house, like I know the new owner's there because we've gone over to that house a couple times to pick up packages.
Yeah, all of our mail goes to other houses, right, guys. Exactly.
That's how we keep our paper clutter down. Throwback to last episode. But they've also done some changes and furnished it in ways that I would not. But I had a much easier time going back to that house and hearing those things because I've already gone through it with the first house, knowing like, that's great. I'm so happy that this house works for them and they can change it and do what they want with it to make it work for them.
Yeah, it's almost entertaining. That sounds wrong, but it's interesting. I'll put it that way, or fascinating to see a house evolution with different owners. It's interesting to me to see like, oh, they use the sunroom because they paint and it has great natural light and they have easels everywhere. Like, we never could have used it that way. You know, it's just so cool to see a house like go on near
far. Oh, I was not catching what song you were putting down.
You are.
Guys, you compliment Sherry's singing on one Instastories. Anyways, I think what we're trying to say, Melissa, is that this is totally okay. It's something that we felt like to have some sadness about changes someone's making to your house. But if you can focus on the good things that are coming out of this sale and sort of the silver lining of actually having someone who's going to allow you to move on to your next house.
And the ways you can change that to work for your family and how you wouldn't want the previous family to want you to keep it exactly the same because yeah. You're supposed to make it work for you. I mean, I think deflecting the attention to your new project and making that yours will help you really sort of like move forward.
Yeah, it's like they say, actually, I read this quote from Kristen Bell. She was talking about Anna Faris and Chris Pratt separating.
I saw it coming, you guys. He was getting too famous.
But they were saying something like, just because a relationship ends does not mean the time together wasn't important and precious and exciting and good. She was just saying that.
Are you breaking up with me?
I figured the podcast was the way to do it.
I feel a little gobsmacked.
No, but I think that applies to a house as well. Like, you can be happy for the times you have and still let it go and move on.
Right. And I would actually try to avoid seeing whatever they do if you're still feeling hurt. You'll know when you're
mentally ready.
Exactly. Like, we walked through our first house many years later, and it was nothing but a positive, awesome experience. There was nothing about it that I was like, that was a shame. Like, it felt so loved and so used, and the built-ins were not in our bedroom anymore, but it was fine. Your house will go on.
Oh my gosh.
In my head, I nail that song, but not in reality.
She did say to me, guys, I think Celine Dion needs to make an impression visit to the podcast
soon. She does. She's always fun.
Anyways, if any of you guys have a question you want us to try to tackle on a future episode of the podcast, you can leave us a voicemail at 571-4-YHL-HAP.
And you never know if Celine will call you back and answer your question.
She won't, if I have anything to say about it.
Don't be so mean. Why do you have to break my Canadian heart?
Oh, gosh.
So cruel.
We have to take a break. But we will be back with We're Digging.
This week's episode is brought to you by Grove Collaborative, who's making it easier to get safe and natural products from your favorite green brands delivered right to your door. Stuff like Method Soap, Mrs. Meyer's Cleaners, even our favorite Tom's of Maine toothpaste is on there.
Oh, and I saw your precious coconut oil and apple cider vinegar on there too.
You know, I love that stuff.
And we actually were talking to a longtime Grove customer. Her name's Nicole, and she was telling us how impressed she has been with her customer service. So I asked her this question. And when you call or contact them, are you just getting some like random person?
Oh my gosh. Each person has someone assigned to them and is their guide to the Grove website. It's also cool too, because they'll give you their personalized recommendations sometimes too. They'll send you things and say, oh, I really like this toothpaste, or I really like this candle. So it definitely feels like you're communicating with someone you know.
That's so cool. It's like your Grove bestie.
Yeah.
You can get your own Grove bestie by signing up at grove.co/YHL. That's grove.co/YHL. And if you use that link, they'll not only take $20 off your first order of $40 or more, they'll also throw in another favorite thing of ours, Mrs. Meyer's multi-service cleaner.
Guys, I urge you to choose the lemon verbena scent. You're going to have to trust me on this. There are candles in that scent too. They're just delicious. And by that, I mean you don't eat them, but you smell them and you love it.
Again, that's at grove.co/YHL.
I can't wait to see what you are going to be digging.
Oh no.
It's like Pepe Le Pew meets right. Celine Dion.
This week, I'm digging a book that I'm very excited about. I'm only like 50 pages in, but I couldn't wait to tell you guys about it. It is entitled American Fire. The subtitle is Love, Arson, and Life in a Vanishing Land.
And where is it set, John?
It is set in the eastern shore of Virginia, near where our beach house is. I saw this recommended in Entertainment Weekly as a summer read. I have since noticed it was recommended by Time and Elle as well. It is a nonfiction story. It's written by a reporter for the Washington Post, and it's sort of built on this series of stories she wrote several years ago when all these arsons started happening on the Eastern Shore. So I was attracted to it because it took place in sort of a familiar area, but it's just really good because it's like true crime and also this weird love story, and then also tells an interesting story of this area of Virginia that, you know, we're still learning about, having just bought the house there last year.
Yeah, and it's a really historic, like all the houses in downtown Cape Charles are like hundreds of years old. And I love when John leans over and says like, do you know the terms they use for things? Like I feel like we're learning to be townies.
Oh, yeah, I've learned that we are called the come here's, not the born here's.
There's born here's and come here's.
Yeah, it's people who are born on the Eastern Shore and people who just came there. We're the intruders, I guess. this takes place in the county that's just north of ours. There's two counties in the Eastern Shore. We're in Northampton. This is in Accomack County. I think in 2012, suddenly all these old abandoned houses, because there's a lot of abandoned houses on the Eastern Shore, started just going up in flames. And there were like 70 that got burned down in the course of like just a few weeks. And so there's a whole lot of mystery around it. And then they finally get the guy to confess who did it. He happened to be a volunteer firefighter.
No, this is so many spoilers.
This is all in the description.
Are you sure?
Yeah, you can read this all on Amazon right now.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm only 50 pages in. I don't know spoilers.
Okay.
But apparently there's this really weird love story that's going to happen as I get further in. So
that's a whole lot of fires.
Yes, 70. And all the fire departments are volunteer over there. So it's like all these people getting called to our houses in the middle of the night. So there's lots of interesting stuff about arson, I guess.
But it's so sad because these beautiful old houses.
I mean, a lot of these are just like abandoned houses out in the middle of like a farmland. So I don't know how beautiful they were at the time they got burned down. But yeah, sad nonetheless. So anyways, I think it would be interesting to anyone whether or not you care about the Eastern Shore or not.
Whether you're a born here or a come here.
Or never been there. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. Again, it's called American Fire and it's written by Monica Hesse.
Why don't you ask Celine Dion how to pronounce it?
Why don't I ask Celine Dion to tell everybody what she's digging this week?
I'm taking over because I can't do the accent that long. So this week I'm digging a new coconut drink I've been enjoying almost every morning for the past few weeks. It's called Bye. You might remember it because there's a certain commercial with a Justin Timberlake in it and the song is all bye, bye, bye. And it's spelled B-A-I.
I think he is actually like a backer of the company, which is why he's in the commercial.
Oh, that makes sense.
I think I read that somewhere. I could be making that up. Our research department has not fact checked that.
Right. Basically, I'm going to tell you what I know and then I want you guys to tell me what you know. This is a fact-finding mission for me because I am drinking this often and I love it, but I want to make sure it's not like really bad for me by accident. It is billed as an antioxidant cocoa fusion, and it only has 5 calories per serving. Servings are bogus because you drink the whole bottle.
How many servings are in a bottle?
2. And I drink the whole bottle, so it's 10 calories. So don't put 5 on the front.
Just split it with me.
I mean, 10 calories is just as little.
I'll take 5 of your calories.
Who notices that? But anyway, it's only got 1 gram of sugar, and it's got no artificial sweeteners. And it's a big bottle, so I love it because it tastes like coconut water. It's not super sugary, but it's not super dry and flat. And I really like it also because it has natural caffeine in it. I don't know what in it is caffeine, but it's got 35 milligrams per serving, which is like a cup of green tea.
Yeah, someone who does not get affected by caffeine very much, me, had a bottle of this one night and was up till 2 a.m.
John can have a Coke right before bed and fall asleep. But something about this coconut.
I don't, for the record.
I mean, sometimes you have a Coke float.
Not right before bed. That's like at least an hour before bed.
Okay. But that was funny. In the morning, he was like, dude, I couldn't fall asleep till 1. And I was like, did you have one of my buys? Because you're only supposed to have those in the morning.
Well, and I know you like it also because it sort of gives you a break from your tea addiction. As much as you like being hot, even in the summer.
I love being hot. I mean, I have tea year round, but I was having 3 cups every morning. And it was a lot of like with Invisalign, taking the Invisalign out, brewing it, drinking it. Doing it 3 times was a lot. So now I just have 1 cup of tea and 1 bottle of this. And I feel like I've got all the energy in the world.
I wish people would see you right now. You're holding it up like you're at the end of a commercial. Like, and I have 1 bottle of this.
I know. Can you hear it? Shaking around in there. But basically, I want to ask you guys, because I know there's like much smarter people than me who listen to this podcast. To taste this good and only have 10 calories is like amazing. It makes me think it might be bad for me. But then it says no artificial sweeteners. So I'm confused because I know some things like aspartame, like we're not supposed to mess with. But this has stevia leaf extract and erythritol. They're both supposedly like plant-based.
Sounds very natural to me.
Right? Well, stevia is like, you know how a sugar cane is a plant? A stevia leaf is a plant. And so everyone's saying like, unlike aspartame, which is like made in a lab, this is healthier. But if you're listening and you think me having one of these every morning is a really bad life decision because you know something about stevia or about erythritol.
The A ingredient?
Erythritol.
You know Sherry likes to peddle in like loose scientific nutritional recommendations.
Like I cover my face in coconut oil and I drink apple cider vinegar and put it on skin tags.
And now you're drinking coconut water.
So please tell me if this is a good choice or a bad choice, because I love it. But if you tell me like it's going to take 10 years off my life, I will get over my love affair with bye.
Will you say bye, bye, bye?
I will say bye, bye, bye to the bye. Thanks for listening to Young House Love Has a Podcast. We're taking next Monday off for Labor Day, but we'll be back with a new episode the following week.
And a big thanks to you guys for making us a part of your summer. Whether you were road tripping, working outside, or just passing the time until school started up again, we really appreciate you guys subscribing and tuning in each week.
And speaking of what people do while they listen, MVD83 on Instagram said she was listening in bed with headphones while her husband slept, but she accidentally woke him up laughing about the whole Laura Sherry snafu from episode 59.
That's a rude awakening. And don't forget to check out younghouselove.com/podcast for all the bonus links, photos, and info from this episode, like a picture of our new paved driveway.
And those sexy and Invisalign elastics crisscrossing my face.
Later.
Bye. This was a fantastic coup.
Zero hiccup. Zero hiccups.
Future John used original laugh.
Yeah, of course. You didn't need to tell me that.